This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Philip and Xiao Ning. Let's take a look at the climate change agenda. Now, the world's top five polluters were responsible for 60% of global emissions in 2019. In fact, China alone generated about the same amount of CO2 as the next four countries combined, and its carbon output is still rising every year.
But over the past year, China's President Xi Jinping has made key commitments to tackle climate change. In September, he told the United Nations General Assembly China will have CO2 emissions peak before 2030 and achieve carbon neutrality before 2060. Then last month, he offered a further commitment to the same gathering of world leaders, saying China will not build new coal-fired power projects abroad. Most recently, China published plans to cut its reliance on fossil fuels to below 20% by 2060. Now, while all these goals are ambitious and will certainly have a major impact on the planet's environment, should China achieve it, there is little detail shared on how exactly China plans to achieve them. And with economic growth still a priority as well as an energy crisis in the country, how likely will China go through with its pledge?
So for more on this, we have with us Dr. Philip Andrew Speed, Senior Principal Research Fellow at the Energy Studies Institute with the National University of Singapore. Good morning, Philip. Thanks so much for being with us today. Before we dive into China's plans for net zero, maybe you can talk to us a little bit about China's climate policies and how they've fared in the past few years. You know, have they made any strides in going green?
Good morning. It's great to be with you. Yes, I mean, particularly if we go back to, say, 2004, 2005, there was really a major change of emphasis then. There was energy efficiency regulations, there was a renewable energy law. And so they then really started to put a lot of effort into wind and solar energy, and they built up, as we know, the largest fleet of solar and wind installations in the world and are a major supplier. They've improved their national energy efficiency greatly. They're building nuclear and they're making huge strides. I think the problem is it is a very big economy and it is still growing. And so the total amount of energy grows from year to year. And so whilst it is good, it's still not managing to reduce emissions. And so that's why they're setting a target to peak emissions. The emissions are still rising. The use of coal is still rising.
Mm. I guess they have to because, you know, those Beijing smogs are legendary. But I just want to get your thoughts looking ahead. You know, China's environmental goals seem very ambitious. And with an economy so heavily dependent on dirty energy, as you were saying, right, consumption for these carbon-emitting products are still rising. How viable is their pathway to be carbon neutral by 2060?
I think it's completely unknown because, as you mentioned, there is no indication of how they're going to do it more than vague rhetoric. The ambition to do this came from some modeling done by Tsinghua University that basically said if you do A, B, C, D, E, all these things, you can achieve this. How you put this into practice in terms of policy instruments and then implement in such a way that the economy is still growing, that people are still employed, and you still keep the lights on, that's a real challenge. And they haven't told us yet how they're going to do that.
And before we get to carbon neutral in 2060, there is still the goal of peak emissions by 2030. Do you think that's looking realistic?
I think so. And most observers of China's energy sector would, I think, agree with that. I mean, you know, coal use and emissions almost peaked a few years ago, started to pick up again, but they're accelerating the construction of renewable energy and nuclear energy, and they're trying to constrain the construction of new coal-fired power plants. And I think this recent energy crisis will have provided an additional stimulus. Okay, it's more coal in the short term. But I think this has provided additional stimulus to the leadership to really push for that peak by 2030.
So how does China need to repivot its economy? Because many, you know, think that this economic growth and climate push is counter to each other. So what does it need to do to restructure its Chinese economy?
Well, you know, for the last 60, 70 years, the Chinese economy has been very much weighted towards heavy industry, steel, cement, and chemicals, and all that sort of thing. And unfortunately, the economic stimulus plan for once COVID hit early last year was very much focused on more steel and cement in construction and infrastructure. So that's why we've seen this soaring of energy consumption. So, yeah, I mean, the leadership is fully aware that they need to move to a more advanced high-tech economy that isn't so reliant on construction. And I think the crisis with the construction companies now, the property developers, may help that, because in the past, construction has been 30% of GDP or something. And so if we get rid of that, or a lot of it, then you start to get to a more balanced economy when it comes to energy use.
Philip, when it comes to climate change, I mean, you've got this argument between the developed and developing world, and China is still part of the developing world. It's argued that it has a right to do what Western countries have done in the past, you know, release carbon dioxide in the process of developing its economy and reducing poverty. I feel like China is an interesting position compared to other developing countries because they are just such a huge economy. But how do you think the two sides will navigate this, given the tense geopolitical relationship currently between China and the West?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the whole debate, not only China, with other countries, is going to be more difficult. But I think the argument that you've done this before, therefore we don't have to do it, I think it's too late for that now. You know, as the specialists are saying, our current trajectory is 2.7 degrees. So everybody, except for the poorest countries, needs to buckle down and do something. And I think China realizes. And I think that they are using that argument less these days than the very poor countries. But certainly the tense geopolitical relationships will make things worse. But again, Xi Jinping wants to show that he is a world leader in this topic. So hopefully the Chinese will come up with some ambitious and credible statements.
Well, let's hope he demonstrates his leadership tomorrow at COP26. I think he's not traveling, but what are your expectations on China's commitment towards the summit then?
Well, I would expect him, as he has done over the last few years, to show some credible leadership. I mean, the trouble is, I mean, he's made all those, you know, ambitious statements, but we haven't seen how they're going to do it, whether in the next day or two they will publish a plan for how, at least how they will peak for 2030. I think that's what we'd really like to see. I mean, we've all got 2060, 2050 plans. Nobody's specified those. But if he came out with a plan for 2030, or how they will peak carbon before then, I think that would be good for everybody and would show that China is taking this seriously.
Philip, thank you so much for speaking with us today and sharing your insights. That was Dr. Philip Andrew Speed, Senior Principal Research Fellow of Energy Studies at the Energy Studies Institute of the National University of Singapore, talking to us about China's climate change agenda and the gaps that need to be filled before we can ascertain whether they will be effective.
Yes, I think one of the key challenges for China is that, you know, there is no implementation plan drawn up. But, you know, I must point out that for them, they have actually been reducing energy consumption per unit of GDP by about 18% from 2010 to 2015. So there is some sign to show that they are trying to shift towards something a bit more greener.
Xiaoning, what are your thoughts on this, listening to the conversation?
I think the Chinese government is cognizant of the need to really move towards being a greener economy. And you can see that in their big picture statements, including the shift towards a circular economy, towards a move towards consumption-based, growing the middle class, moving away from all economy, steel, cement, which uses a lot of high energy. So shifting towards high technology, for example. So clearly that's going to be the step forward, but is it enough? And this enough applies to every economy in the world, whether it's the US, whether it's the G7, whether it's Europe, or even here in Malaysia. The thing is, we're making all these commitments for the future, but is that going to be enough? Because we are going to pass the buck on to the next generation. What about now, though? What are we doing currently? And I think that's the question we don't have answers for.
Indeed. It's 7:46 in the morning. We will be taking a quick break. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.